Those of you who have studied with us here at St. Timothy, we have a tendency to call this the Gospel of Isaiah. Amen. Because Isaiah puts out a good word, and he kind of introduces the Messiah all the time, as you can see. Looking through his writings, he's always talking about that coming one. And here it is again, Isaiah 59, 15 through 21 is the text that this particular commentator has set before us this morning, calling him a major prophet, as we have discussed. That means he had a bigger body of writing. All the prophets' writings are important. There are no unimportant prophets in the Word, in the 66 books that God has given. Amen. All of them are greatly important, but they're called major and minor based on the number of words or just the number of pages of content. And so here Isaiah is called a major prophet, and this golden text is: the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now, we talked about this in some of the previous lessons, how God is always talking about things that he established when he said something long time ago. One of the biggest things that should do for you is let you know that God does not change.
Right.
In other words, if I said it to Abraham, it's good right now.
Amen.
It applies to you. If I said it to Jacob, it applies to you.
Yeah.
If I said it to Isaac, whoever it was, I spoke it, it's good. It's good for you. If you walk in the truth,
yes.
If you trust me, if you believe me, I am the unchanging God. I change not, he says, Malachi. He told him, same thing. And think about that. Malachi now, when we look at Malachi, we're at the end of the Bible, or the Old Testament, and we come to Malachi, and he's still saying, I am the Lord your God, I do not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jacob was nowhere to be seen at that time in history. Jacob had long been put in the tomb. And he speaks to Jacob.
Yes.
He says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. All the way in Malachi. Like both of them dudes, hey, they had to go, wait a minute now. They're not even here. What do you mean? What are you talking to them for?
Right.
You know. And the fact is, God does not change.
Amen.
And so he said, I made a promise to Abraham. That promise is good for you today, right now. I can pronounce to you this morning that the promise that God made to Abraham is good right
yes.
now.
Yes, it is.
If he said Abraham was his friend because he believed God, guess what? It's true of you. If you believe God, God considers you to be his friend. If you believe God. And we talked about this a little bit at the Iron Man yesterday. It's not so much just to say that you believe God as much as it is for you also to speak the fact that you believe God. You can't be a closet believer. I'm in the closet, I believe God, but if I'm going out in the world and nobody knows I have anything to do with God. See, none of that. See what I'm saying? Because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
You need to be saying that I am the if I believe it. Jesus said what? Out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaking. You can't just have it in your heart like Jeremiah tried that. Remember that? I know about that guy, but every time I mention him, I get in trouble. So I'm just going to shut my mouth. Remember that? But he said, I couldn't do it. Why? Because it was like fire shut up in my bone. I had to speak forth that God is my Redeemer. See that? He couldn't keep it inside. If you know God, you know him right, you can't keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Amen?
And so Isaiah keeps on talking about, and not just Isaiah, all the prophets. And we looked at Micah, who was a contemporary of Isaiah in the previous lesson. And here we kind of cut almost to the end of the book of Isaiah here, not too far from the end. He's saying here that the Redeemer shall come, look at that, to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now, he says he shall come. That's a promise. God, when did God start to make that promise? In the Word. When did he start saying, I'm sending the Redeemer? Soon as sin hit the scene. The moment sin hit the scene, God started announcing a coming Redeemer. He told Satan, up on your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. He told Adam and Eve the results of the sin that you have done is a curse on your life.
Right.
It's a curse on the creation.
Right.
It's a curse on the world, the heavens and the earth. Everything is cursed because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you. You know, he let them know that sin you did has permeated everything that I gave you dominion over.
Yeah.
Sin is a problem. It's deeply embedded in everything about you. And it's in you and it's in your seed. And it's going to be passed on until I buy you back. So he told the devil there, because everybody passed the buck when God was talking about the sin. Oh, Adam said, oh, well, I was fine until you gave me that woman, blamed it on God.
Right.
You said everything was good until you gave me that woman. That means it's your fault. See, then he went to the woman and said, well, you know, since he thinks it's my fault, you know, that you're going to have a lot of trouble in conception, in childbirth, because you're going to be begetting sinners is the problem. Probably wouldn't have been that way had there have been no sin.
Right.
See, but there was a curse even in the childbirth because Adam passed the buck and said, God, it's your fault. And so he told a woman, in pain shall you bring forth.
Yes.
You see, and basically your desire shall be to your husband, he shall rule over you. There's going to be a conflict in relationship between men and women.
Yes.
See, all the way back then today, it's not God's fault, it's sin.
Yeah.
Don't go blame God, go, God, you said all that. No, sin did that. You gave the devil a doorway, a gateway into your life.
Yep.
That was the problem. You didn't know what sin was going to do. He told you it was going to make you smart. It's going to make you like God. See, but that was a lie. That's the only problem with that. You ain't going to be like God. It's going to mess you up. You're going to be whacked and jacked up with whacked and jacked up children from now on. That's what it's going to do for real. God just told them the result of what happened when you chose that sin. When you chose sin and disobeyed me, this is what you bought on. I'm not the one who's bringing it. You bought it.
Yes.
You choose sin. You choose condemnation. You choose a bad consciousness. You choose all those things that come with sin. That's your fault. It's not my fault. How can something like that proceed from a holy God?
No way.
If God is thrice holy, how in the world can any of that stuff come from him? Where did it come from? Came from Satan and your choice to believe a lie and to fail to believe what I told you. And only gave you one law, Adam. You only had one thing to do. Is leave that tree right there. That's my tree. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. He said don't eat it. I don't know that he said don't touch it. Eve said don't touch it.
Right.
But God told him don't eat of it. And I guess you would have to touch it to eat it, wouldn't you? You know, I don't see how you could eat it without touching it. So you did have to touch it in order to eat it. See what I mean? You can't eat it if you don't touch it.
Right.
See what I mean? And if you do eat it, you must touch it. Because it's a physical thing, and you must put it to your lips even if you don't put your hand on it.
Right.
You have to go up to the tree. Have you thought about these kind of things before?
Nope.
You know, that's what I think about. You know, so you had to put some of it in your mouth and swallow it down your throat, and God told you don't eat it.
Right.
See? And so the fact is, you went out of order and did this thing. And so then he told the serpent, since Eve said, oh no, it was that serpent. He beguiled me. She passed the buck. Remember that? And then so he said to the serpent, okay, we'll stop this. Up on your belly shalt you go. And dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. See, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Since the woman blamed it on you, I'll make you two enemies from now on. And between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise you on the head. It what? Her seed. And thou shalt bruise his heel. His heel. That's the Son of God. Is going to come out of a woman without a man, even through the difficult childbirth. See? And he is the Redeemer. He's the one that's going to bring an end to what Satan did to mankind. So the announcement of the Redeemer, y'all wondered, how did I get way in Genesis and we over here in Isaiah? Well, what God said never changes.
Amen.
See? And he's still saying it now. The Redeemer is coming.
Yep.
I set off a succession of promises, and it's going to conclude with Christ, my Son. He is going to buy you back. That's what it means to redeem. Redeem means I own something and I lost it and I had to get it back or buy it back, or I could even have sold it. What the problem is, I lost possession of it. It's not mine anymore.
Yes.
And it's not so much that God lost possession. It was still his in the physical sense.
Mm-hmm.
But because of sin, that separated you from me. And you separated from me. I didn't move. I don't change. So God never did change. I always like to remind the saints, God, the curse was not something that proceeded from God. It proceeded from sin.
Mm-hmm.
See, God just told you what happened. That's all you see there.
Right.
It's not that it necessarily is proceeding from me. Mm-hmm. It's the, let's call it the backside of his righteousness is that he must hate sin. And he must separate from sin.
Right.
See, so and I think the church is a little too soft today in a lot of ways on the subject of sin.
Amen.
See?
Yeah.
Cause you don't hear a lot talking about it because people say, well, sin makes people feel bad. No, if you feel bad, you need to quit sinning.
Right.
Stop it. Then you won't feel bad.
Amen.
You know, but it doesn't mean it's okay. Stop the sin.
Right.
You'll find out you feel really good.
Yes, you will.
Your conscience will be clear.
Yes, will.
You won't have to worry about, am I doing this right? Am I walking with God right? You know, but church don't want to tell you that anymore today. You know, we want to just tell you that God is merciful, and he is. That's true. God is forgiven. Yes, he is. That's true. You know, but the fact is, God also, just like what you saw in that first episode in Genesis, he still hates sin.
Yes, he does.
He hated. You know what? I think the biggest thing God hated, and this is my thought, not the Bible didn't necessarily say this, but in my mind, I think this is the thing God hated the most, is when his son was hanging there on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Crucified. He had been misused and abused. Mm-hmm. Scandalized, ridiculed, talked about, mm-hmm. found guilty of something. He had done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only perfect human being that ever walked the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that he could say all from the time of his birth on clear till the time that he went to the cross, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And he had to let him hang there with the weight of my sin on him. My sin was enough to crush him and kill him because my sin is awful. See, with the weight of not just mine, but everybody's sin hanging there. Between heaven and earth, the only mediator between God and man. And he had to say, I'm going to forsake my son and leave him there. Just let him hang there. I think that was the worst thing that ever happened in history. God, the holy God, said, okay, I'm going to forsake my son. And he's the only one that satisfies me. Nobody else ever satisfies me. And he had to cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, because Jesus had to bear that forsaking from God in order to be able to pay that debt to satisfy God. God could not be satisfied unless he forsook his own son. And so the cost of our redemption is not cheap. And here when Isaiah says, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. The worst part is he came to the covenant people who had exact information all their lives. From a kid, they were raised up in God's word. All their life, they went to the synagogue. They went to the temple. They saw animals be sacrificed. They saw the blood flowing from the altar. They saw the scapegoat being sent away. We talked about that yesterday, too, for a little bit. And they knew sin is a horrible thing. See? And they were probably some of the most moral, clean people on the earth because they had instruction from God. They weren't perfect. They didn't do everything right. That's why God had them come make a sacrifice. But that sacrifice is saying, yeah, you failed, but I'm a God of mercy. And I'm going to give you a way to be right anyway. And I'm going to give you a way so that your life becomes a picture and a model of what a holy God thinks about sin. See, that's what he's saying. He's saying that to the church too. It hasn't changed. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord from everlasting to everlasting. I am God. See, there's no difference. We think there's a difference. We like to think, oh, that was the Old Testament. Well, God was fierce back then. He's fierce today. You know, he's the same God. He hadn't changed. And he wants a holy seed, the Bible says, in the world. People passing on the knowledge of truth from one generation to another. See? And you know what? Christ has already come now. This is the part that really disturbed me. In the church, we have full knowledge that God was satisfied.
Amen.
And he was only satisfied one way. We shouldn't be walking around thinking, oh, well, you know, God is satisfied because my congregation has 40,799 people in it. And we have a big edifice that's blah, blah, blah. No. God is not satisfied by that. He's not satisfied with that at all. You know, that could be a sin against you, the fact that you have a bunch of people if you don't tell them the truth.
That's going to be worse. I would hate to think, what is it going to be for you on Judgment Day if you don't talk about sin? And you got a big coliseum full of all kinds of folks, but you haven't told them you need to repent.
Amen.
You need to get your life clean. Salvation is about cleaning up your life. It's not about you just being in here and sucking in every bit of mercy that God can provide. That's not it. You know, God wants a holy people who represent Him. That's why He said that the church is the bride of Christ. Think about that. Put yourself in those shoes for a minute. If it's a bride, what kind of bride do you want? Do you want some tramp to stroll in the street to be your bride? Or some dude who's call himself a pimp? Got all kind of different women on the side and all that? Is that what you want? No, you don't want that. The bride. Think about that.
Yes.
The bride needs to be, that's going to be your choice one that you picked out of everybody that you analyze. You analyze them all, and I find this one right here.
Yes.
That's the one I love that I want to spend my life with.
Amen.
See, the bride has to be clean. She got to be right. She got to be pure. You don't want somebody that's not right.
Yes.
You know, you want somebody who's going to do you right, right? Amen. And that's just in a human sense. How about holy God for His Son, who He had to forsake? He forsook Him so He could receive somebody like me. Now, He does accept us, and this message is not to say that we ourselves can ever be acceptable apart from Christ, but God uses the, let's call it the ministry of marriage, which He ordained, which now the world is desecrating.
Amen.
Marriage.
Amen.
Marriage is such a strong and powerful thing to God. It's so important.
Amen.
You know why? Because He could never take me if there wasn't for the doctrine of marriage. We are married to Christ.
Yes, we are. Amen.
You and I are married to Christ. Therefore, we are one flesh with Him.
Right.
So if God accepts Him, guess what? He accepts you. That's what redemption is about. Redemption is God marries His Son to sinners. In order that, since He forsook Him and He satisfied Him all by Himself, whoever is His bride, I accept you. You are my sons and daughters. See what I'm saying? Because two become one flesh. That's why Paul said that in Ephesians 5, that this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ. Ephesians 5, He told the husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might cleanse and sanctify her. You know, so if he gave Himself up for you, His reason is that He might cleanse and sanctify you.
Amen.
By the washing with water, by the word, that means He's going to clean you up by what He teaches you in His word.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that later. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean for this to be so deep this morning, but the fact is, we need to be getting cleansed and sanctified.
Yeah.
That means set apart. We're not blending in with the world and then desecrating something holy. That's why we call it holy matrimony. But this is something God has honored from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so the devil couldn't wait to get it where marriage is just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two men, two women, two dogs, two cats, and a dog and a cat, and a whatever. You know, any kind of thing. Desecrate that which is holy to God. Why don't you? Why don't you just go up to the cross and spit right on Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do that. Go right up there, slap Him again. That's what that is. See, because marriage is a holy thing. And they don't care about a union with somebody, being together with them. All they care about is desecrating something that's holy.
Right.
Desecrate something. Go in and make it unholy.
Anything.
Then it can be any old thing. Well, God is the one who designed marriage. And you can't make it be anything you want it to be.
That's right.
And so the Redeemer is coming. These are the kind of things that we know, as Dr. Adams said, to point us to the time where we are. We see the Jews now building a new temple.
Right.
Which was spoken by Jesus. Did you know that? He said, this temple here, they showed Him how great the temple was and the big stones in Matthew 24. And He told them, don't you know that there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down? He said, what? This is the great temple that King Herod built for us. Herod wasn't even a Jew. But he built this magnificent temple because he knew that it would draw the Jews into a closer relationship, and it would make peace in the land, and he fought. And it did for a while, until the fact that they got so arrogant they thought they were better than everybody. We don't have time to talk about that. You know, but I hope that's not happening to the church, but I believe it is, because the Bible says in the latter days that the church will be an apostate church. In other words, we fall away from the truth. And there is a great apostasy sweeping through the church right now.
Yeah.
You know, apostasy means falling away from that which is true. See? And that's where we are. You see the church falling away. Meanwhile, Jesus said that Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. See? And so now it's been 2,000 years that God has accepted whosoever will. You know, he always did accept whosoever will, but it was just made plain that it was his intention to accept whosoever will. For about 2,000 years when Christ came, because he came for all, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That time period has come to an end. About 2,000, what are we, 15 years past what we think is 2,000 from the time Christ was born, the Jews are now setting up to build the third temple. And when they do that, they're going to sanctify it with the red heifer. We see them doing everything necessary. They've been ignoring their own Bible for all these years. You know, and they don't believe Messiah has come. All of that's prophesied in the Word. It's not like they're doing something that we don't know about. We got full understanding, those of us in the church who study the Word. We have full understanding that they're doing exactly what Jesus said they would do. See, his prophecy is exactly, it's fulfilling, and we're seeing it. We can lay our eyes on, turn on CNN, bam, there it is. That's exactly what Jesus said. CNN didn't know it. They're reporting what's happening. See what I'm saying? But we know that's what Jesus said was going to happen. And so when we see that, we ought to look up. The Bible says, for your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, coming close. We don't know when it'll be. And Jesus already said, no man knows the day nor the hour. It's going, he said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. See, a thief don't come and say, hey, y'all in there, y'all woke, I'm coming in. No, he slips in and tries to get what he wants and get out before you know he's even been there. See, the thief in the night. He's not trying to come and knock on the door and ring the bell, say, hey, I'm out here, I'm going to break in, y'all stay in the bed. No, he doesn't do that, does he? No, he sneaks in. Well, he sneaks into the business when it's closed. I don't want to go when it's open. Sometimes they do, a robber will, but he said a thief. See, a thief is a person who he fears man, but he doesn't fear God. The robber doesn't fear man or God. I'm going to get in your face right now, give me what you got. And I don't care who sees me. The robber is kind of a more aggressive type of a sinner than a thief. A thief is kind of, he fears man, but he doesn't fear God. So that makes him a little bit more sheepish, if you will. Yeah, I'm going to try to slip in. I'm going to get away and don't want nobody to know I'm doing this. See? And so we have to be careful. But the fact is, Isaiah promised that the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Did he come? Yes. And unto them that turn from transgression. See that? People who come to the Redeemer are those who say, this is transgression, which is willful disobedience. I have to stop this. Right. I got to turn from it. And walk with the right way with what God said. So we need to put our heart on that, basically, and I'm sure we do. You know, and the fact is, as you do that, you can be preparing yourself for the coming, because the Redeemer shall come. He'll come again. This time he left and he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. So he is still coming again.
Yeah.
See, and there, where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to bring you to the Father's house. Why? Because you are my bride, and you're the bride, and I'm the bridegroom. And when we get together, we're going to go and celebrate. Mm-hmm. See, that's the promise of God. He wants you to go celebrate with him in the Father's house. And he did promise when he left, I'll be back. And what the bride should be doing, we've seen that, and I don't want to go on with this, but I really do, but we don't have time. The bride in the Matthew 25, there were five wise and five foolish virgins. Remember that? The 10 virgins. The five foolish kept on minding their business. Didn't worry about that. Am I ready for when the bridegroom comes? Am I ready? And then all of a sudden there came a cry at midnight. The bridegroom cometh, behold. And they all got up and went to trim their lamps, but some of them weren't ready. Five of them weren't ready. Well, give us some of yours. Oh, no, I can't give you mine. We ready, the five that were prepared. And the others said, well, you go out and get your own. And when they went out, the bridegroom came. And the door was shut, and he said, I don't even know you. Where are you coming from? See? So we need to be ready and walk in readiness. Be dressed in readiness, as the scripture said. Hey, man, I'm going to go ahead and call for the superintendent at this time. This is a great lesson. And we thank God for it. Amen.
Amen.